Well, hello, PVC family. Hope you are doing well. Our devotional for this week is called A Christian Heart Check. You know, we are in a time and we find ourselves in an environment where there is full of hardships, trials, and even persecution. And it's far too easy for us to want to respond in anger, in bitterness, to maybe even taking sides and divisions. When that happens, when we respond in a way like this, we are looking no different from the rest of the world. This is a time where we as Christians are called to stand out, to be as lights. We should be those who are characterized by the fruit of the Spirit. And the question we should face is, when we are faced with these things, what are we exhibiting? How are we responding? We should be those who are controlled by the Spirit, not controlled by the flesh. That's easier said than done, right? Our devotional for today is to remind ourselves of these things and to check our heart. And so our devotional for today is found in Galatians 5. It's verse 13 through 26. Now we're just going to glean through these passages here and to help us see how we should be acting in living in the environment we find ourselves in today. So in Galatians 5, starting at verse 13, it says, "For you are called the freedom brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another to envy or envying one another." So right away, Paul brings out that we have freedom in Christ. But notice what he says. He says, "Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So we are not to, even though we have freedom, we're not to use it in a way to boast it over people as an opportunity to just please us in the flesh. Instead, he says, use your freedom to love one another. You know, loving one another, he says, is characterized and fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. When we see that, that's actually a summary of what we would call the second table of the law. The last six commandments. Love is the fulfillment of that. Now, what he's not saying is, he's saying, go ahead and love more, and so doing, you'll earn righteousness. He's not saying that. Remember, in the context here, Paul has just hammered the gospel in the first three chapters of Galatians. And so we know that it is Christ who obeyed the law. We know it is Christ who died for our sins, that his righteousness is credited to our account as our sins are imputed to his account, and he paid for them. And so it's through faith alone that we are united to Christ, not by anything we do. But now that we have faith in Christ, we are called to live in a way that pleases him. In other words, you're to bear fruit. You're to show that you have true faith by what you do. It's been said, faith is, we are saved by grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone. But that faith is never alone. In other words, there's fruit behind it that testifies that it's true faith. So we are then called to show our love and gratitude for what Christ has done by how we keep the law. Not as a way of merit, but as a way of gratitude. You know, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. In other words, when we obey Christ, it's the fruit of the Spirit that is manifested in our life. It's given to us. So when we see the law and we're enabled to obey, that's a testimony that the fruit of the Spirit is in us. How then do we do that? How do we know that? He says, look at verse 16. He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under law. So since we are still here in the flesh, we still struggle with our fleshly desires. The solution to not walk in the flesh is then to walk by the Spirit. And notice he says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. This is an imperative. It's a command. It's something we're commanded to do. It's not an option. He says, if you're a believer, you're commanded to walk by the Spirit. When we let the Spirit control our lives, notice it restrains us from doing sinful things, from doing fleshly things. Well, then how then do we know if we are controlled by the Spirit or the flesh? Paul says, examine your deeds. Look at what you do. How do you respond? And that shows who you're really being led by. Look at verse 19. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are things that characterize an unbelieving world. These are behaviors that characterize those who reject and hate God. These are things that we see in Romans 1 of those who have exchanged the truth about God for a lie. However, we who are believers, we who have the Spirit, though we also have the indwelling flesh in us, we still struggle with our unredeemed flesh. And so we still have temptations. We can still fall into these things if we're not careful. So we constantly have to fight the flesh in this life. We struggle with it. We're to put it to death until we are with Christ again and given a glorified body. So Paul goes, do you want to know who you're controlled by? Do you want to know if you are controlled by the Spirit or the flesh? Well, do these consider your actions? When you are wronged, how do you respond? Do you respond with these things? When you are wronged, when you are mistreated, do you grow angry at others and are tempted to slander or name call them? Do you start rivalries? Do you participate in dissensions and divisions? Are you one who stirs up conflict? If so, it's not the Spirit you're controlled by, but the flesh. And you're being no different from the rest of the unbelieving world. The call then is to repent and look to Christ. So how do we know if we're walking by the Spirit? Well, one, we're not doing these things. We're not one who is characterized by doing those things. Now, while we might fall in that for a time, that's not what characterizes our walk. That's not what we make a habit of doing. We repent. We turn to Christ when we fail in those things. So then how do we fulfill this command to walk in the Spirit? It's first not by doing the works of the flesh, but instead the fruits of the Spirit. Verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So when he says the fruit of the Spirit, he is saying these are things that the Spirit produces in us. To be able to have the fruit of the Spirit means you have to have the Spirit indwelling in you. So it means you have to be a believer. You have to been one who has been made alive to have faith in Christ. And when you are united to Christ, he gives you his Spirit. So while the believer struggles at times in the flesh with sin, that's not the normal pattern of his life. Instead, the fruit of the Spirit is. That's what characterizes the believer. So while walking by the Spirit helps you restrain from the deeds of the flesh, it also produces things in you. It produces specific, visible fruit. Notice what they are again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As you grow more and more like Christ, you should start to see the fruit of the Spirit more and more in your life, rather than the deeds of the flesh. These are things that characterize the believer. These all go together, by the way. You cannot have one without the other. You cannot have gentleness and self-control while not being at peace with someone. They go together. It's a package. You cannot love someone while not being faithful to them. When we see these things, we see them together. This is the fruit of the Spirit. It's together. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, when we see these things, we see them perfectly manifested and embodied in Christ. It is Christ who showed us perfect love by coming to redeem us, by laying his life down for us while we were unlovely. 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. It's Christ who exhibited perfect joy, who rejoiced fully in his Father, and for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, Hebrews 12:2. Christ exhibited perfect peace as one who made peace by the blood of his cross, Colossians 1:20. He showed perfect patience with his disciples, enduring as they struggled in the faith. He exhibited perfect kindness and goodness to the people who came and followed him and saw him. He healed many of their diseases. He shows perfect faithfulness by being committed to the work of his Father no matter the cost. And he shows perfect gentleness. He is perfect gentleness. He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And he exhibited perfect self-control. He was one who in every respect was tempted as we are, yet without sin. And when we are exhibiting when the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, when we're allowing the Spirit to control us and produce this fruit, not being controlled by the flesh, we are giving the world who is watching around us a picture of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, and those who belong to Christ have been crucified, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The reason it's possible to not walk according to the flesh is because we belong to Christ, because we've been united to him. We're no longer in bondage to sin. We don't have to obey sin anymore. Sin is not our master. We've been freed. Christ has set us free. Romans 6 says, if we have been united to him in a death like his, we certainly shall be united to him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we are no longer to be enslaved to sin, for one who has died has been set free from sin. So we have a new man. We have been raised with Christ to newness of life, to live in a way that's pleasing to him, to be controlled by the Spirit. But when we live according to the flesh, we're acting like Christ did not die for us. We're acting like we're not united to him, and we're acting like we're still in sin and bondage. Therefore, out of love for what Christ has done for us, in redeeming us by the blood of his cross, in earning our righteousness by his perfect obedience to the law, out of love for what Christ has done, we should strive all the more to live in a way that pleases him, even in the midst of our current situation. So does that describe you? Look at your life now. What are you known for? What characterizes you? You know, just because we find ourselves in an uncertain situation, even in a hostile environment, that's not a license to start living according to the deeds of the flesh. So check your heart. Can one see the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Can they go, yeah, you know, that characterizes you? Are you one who, like in 1 Timothy 5:10, has a reputation for good works? Or are you a reviler? Are you one who grows angry and hostile when things may not go your way? Does your life resemble one who is controlled by the Holy Spirit? Or are you one who's just blending in with an unbelieving world, showing you're just controlled by the deeds of the flesh? So may this be a time of heart check. May we see that we are not letting our emotions get to us to where we're controlled by our sinful flesh. May we see these things, and when we fail in these, repent of them and look to Christ, who is the perfecter of our faith. And may we then all the more out of love and thankfulness seek to please our Savior by being controlled by the Spirit and allowing these fruits of the Spirit to be exhibited for the world to see. So this is our devotional for this week. I hope it's a blessing to you and encouragement. I know we are in hard times, but we have a unique opportunity to show the love of Christ to a lost world. And as we show the fruits of the Spirit, we allow it not to hinder our message as well. So I pray that you allow the Spirit to control your lives, to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, even in our current hostile situation that we find ourselves in. May we check our hearts. So I hope to see you tomorrow for our Lord's Day, and I am looking forward to worshiping with you all. God bless.